Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
If families don't know you before a death, they can't choose you after one. Today, we're talking about visibility, voice, and why community engagement is the new strategy for funeral homes can't ignore. Hi, I'm Mary Barnett, and this is the Death Care Marketing Show. We talk real funeral home marketing, strategy, automations, compassions, without the fluff. I've got 37 years of marketing experience, and I'm bringing you death care thought leaders that share what works, what doesn't, and what's worth doing now. So let's get into it. All right. Today, we have Tony Russo. I am so excited to have him as a guest. He is a veteran journalist and a podcast host, a former associate editor for American Funeral Director. And this year, he launched On Death Care, a newsletter covering end-of-life issues. And that's how I found him, actually. He has a vibrant Substack community. And if you're not subscribed to his channel, you need to be. And we'll share those links in the notes. As an independent journalist, he sees the funeral profession from a uniquely informed lens, not as a marketer, but as a storyteller. Tony understands how visibility shapes trust and why the firms that engage in their communities win long before the phone rings. So again, let's welcome Tony Russo. Oh, hey, Tony. Hi. I was telling you off screen that I found you on Substack. I started an account and I haven't been using it very long, but of course I'm looking for things in the death care space. Mm-hmm. And you're all over the place. You are providing such amazing information there. This isn't part of a question, but I'm wondering how do you find your topics of what you write? Because again, your articles are so informative.
Well, it's not interesting. I mean, it's weird. It's Google Alerts. I have a Google Alert. If you are a funeral director and you have said that word today, I have a Google Alert for it. So the downside is I think I've seen 90% of every obituary that's been printed online. But that's where I find my stories. And what happens is, you know, you find stories and you tell them and then people talk to you. So eventually you start to develop just relationships and sources and stuff like that. So once I got to know the industry, it was really kind of, it was very frustrating for me, and it still remains frustrating, but it's not my problem anymore. You know, when a company will send out a press release and then every publication will send out the same press release. So it's like pow, 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 pow.
Right.
And for me, that's just a list of stuff I don't need to write about. Like, okay, good. Right. Everybody's saying it. Occasionally, I always read them, and I think it's important. I think it's very important to send. Don't get me wrong. I think it's critical to send press releases, and I think it's critical to read them. But I read them to see if there's any good stories. Like the press releases, you know, God bless you. Everybody does their job, but they're not going to say anything that once they're out, that's all the interest there is in them.
Right.
But if it makes me think of something, then I'll follow up with the marketing person. They'll say, hey, I saw this press release. What about this? And really like 70% of the time, they're like, yeah, we don't want to talk about that. But 30% of the time, they're like, hey, yeah, that is something worth talking about. And so that's where I get a lot of my industry features usually come from. Marketers who are open to talking about not what I don't want to be a marketer. I am a journalist. You do your job and you do a great job at it. And if somebody wants something very specifically said, but said in their way, they talk to you. If they want something said, but said in my way, then they talk to me. And, you know, it's not always easy, you know, because
I'm so sorry I interrupted. I mean, that's a mark of a good journalist. You're trying to dig deeper and see why. And I think that's what makes it interesting to read your articles, because you are going deeper. You are giving the different perspective. That's not just the same as everybody else. You know, that's the cookie cutter. I was a PR major actually in college with a marketing minor. So I was mostly and it's so funny because people think, do they even read press releases anymore? Like there's, you know, and the fact that you are saying you do, fantastic. We're going to get into it. Like things that funeral homes should spend their time on to get in the news and things they shouldn't waste their time on. So we'll start from there, because funeral homes often feel like they have a marketing problem, but really it's more of a visibility problem, right? So let's get into some questions I had from you. From your journalist lens, what do you notice about funeral homes that stay invisible?
Well, So the, just again, from my Google alerts, some of the very basic stuff is there's often a lack of elaboration. Nobody wants to brag. Nobody wants to seem braggy. And certainly nobody wants to appear to be bragging in, you know, in print in their local paper, because, you know, that's why they don't, you know, have peacock feathers on their thing. It's not their thing.
But what do you consider braggy as a funeral home? Like, what would a funeral home like feel like they're bragging about?
I don't know, but too often what they write is just not interesting. You know, it's right. It's clearly a lot of times, not off. Sometimes they're great. And I actually share the good ones. When I see a really, really well done piece of earned media, I always share it. But a lot of times it's really just, you know, we've been in business for 100 years. You know, my grandfather started this, whatever, not bad information, just not right. Something that makes me as a journalist say, oh, I would like to know more. And I think that's mm-hmm. where funeral homes fall down. And it's hard. And I'm not doing a commercial for you, but I'm going to do a little one. It's hard to do. It's a specific skill. I know there's AI. I know there's spell check, but there is a balance. When you have a good PR person, what they're going to do is they're going to send something that the paper can just run, but they're also going to send something that the paper can ask questions about. And right. those are perfect. A lot of times what's in the paper is somebody's like, oh, well, we just won an award. And that's great. If you win an award and don't tell your newspaper, that's your own fault. Like that's right. that's a place they really fall down. I think funeral directors tend to fall down. I've been following the Times Square thing, chapter, and they had I've seen
so cool.
4 or 5 announcements in the paper. And again, I get all the newspapers. there were more than 4 or 5 people there, but people are like, I don't want to see me in a selfie. No, why did you take the trip to New York?
Right.
You do the selfie in Times Square. You say, I was recognized by this company, and talk about your trip to New York. You know, don't have to talk about your grandfather founded the business and you've been in 100 years and you really love your customers. Yes.
Right.
Everyone does.
And we have great customer service.
Right. But just tell a story that people don't expect of you, and you're going to get their attention. And me as a journalist, when I see someone who says something that is clearly not canned, I'm like, oh, this might be a person worth talking to, because they're going to answer my questions instead of trying to turn them into some sort of piece of marketing.
Right.
And again, marketing can be done well, but it's a thing. And again, I'm sorry, this is not a commercial for you, but it's something that professionals have to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very kind of you for assuming I do that well. So thank you. For
you could be awful for all I know.
Yeah, I could be terrible at this. Yeah. But it's true. I think that people relate to stories. In fact, I was doing another show with someone, and we were talking about how with the trend of people going more to direct cremation and just like checking it off their list, they're not having the services or the celebration of life or whatever they're calling it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a disservice to your family and your community, because when your loved one dies, you don't know how they've impacted other people in your community, even other people in your family. That's not you. You're not with them 24/7. You're not an AI bot that sits on their shoulder and listens to everything they say and all the stories they share. So like at my mom's my funeral, a personal story about my experience is that when my mom passed away, I mean, I knew she was an amazing woman, but when people came up to me in the receiving line and told me stories that I had never heard about how she impacted their life and changed their life, I think that, you know, you have so much of it hitting you right during that day. Mm-hmm. But thinking back, like my mom has been gone. She's been in heaven for 21 years. I still remember the stories that people told me that I had never heard. My mother never bragged, as you were saying. That's why I was asking, like, what would you think a funeral home would brag about? But it was the stories that people told that I think mean so much, and that helps with closure. It helps in your grief journey. So again, we're not talking about that today, but again, on the storytelling note, I think it's important to learn from someone like you about how to tell a good story, from not only for yourself, so you can tell the story, you can have your children tell the story of you when you're gone, your legacy, but that's a whole nother thing. Let's get back to your questions, Tony, because I have so many good ones for you. Okay. So, another one was, why do so many only show up publicly when someone dies? I think that's where a lot of funeral homes, I feel like the only time they put anything out is an obituary. And so they show up when, you know, Grandma Sue dies and you're sharing Grandma Sue's obituary. But I mean, what do you feel about that? Like, I feel like that's a mistake. They shouldn't only just share obituaries.
At the risk of being too self-promotional, there is a recent, I just got here, talk about a perfect press release, a perfect story, everything. This is a perfect storm of what we're just talking about.
Okay.
Saturday, I got a notification that ASD, Answering Service for Direct, I think they're just called ASD now, whatever. I got a notice from them. They posted something on their blog. So I went to see what was on their blog, and they talked about how one of their funeral directors had done a video about what a good company, you know what I'm talking
about?
Just
watched that today. Yeah.
What a good company they were. And now I have been I've been mentioning this funeral director before, and I'm going to get her name wrong. I believe it's Catherine, Wagner Elfner.
Yeah. Three words. Yeah.
And, she has been doing precisely what everyone should be doing. And this is my unsolicited advice. She does just the vertical videos, just real quick. And they've been doing a renovation, I guess, at her funeral home.
Yes.
So she was doing that. And this is
behind the scenes, right?
Just behind the scenes. But I think that I worry that a lot of times funeral directors are like, well, I don't want to be a TikTok star and I don't want to be an internet sensation. And you don't have to be. Yeah. Like if you have 200 followers on your Facebook page or whatever, that's who you're just talking to, potential families.
Right. Right?
I did a nice story with Dan Madden, the funeral
guy,
fashion. Yeah. Right. And that was something that he wasn't against it, but his goal was just to do something that wasn't boring for
right.
the 1,000 families in his radius, that the 6,000 fans, the virality of it, which is something that I know that a lot of funeral directors kind of shy away from. Yeah, you don't need your sure. face out there. I understand. And
yeah.
but that is the best way for people to connect with you, because it's your face. I think my joke is like, you know, who'd have thunk a heartbeat or a pulse was the most important thing to have in the funeral industry, you know, but like authenticity is the coin of the realm.
Yes.
And the only way that they know that you did it is if they see your face doing it.
Right.
I'm on this. I've been podcasting for genuinely 20 years and I've always been anti-video, but I also have always been anti, you know, straight job. So I had to choose, like, do you want to start using video or do you want to go get your greeter job at right. the Walmart? And I chose to do the video instead. It's not comfortable, right?
Right.
Like, I had to do my room. I have to, I worry about how high I am with this dopey.
By the way, I'm saying you are nice and high, where I'm a little bit lower than you. So I'm like trying to sit up straighter.
Right. And so these are considerations that you have to learn how to do, but you can't learn how to do them in a vacuum. It's something you have right. to do poorly and then better and then well.
Yep. You have to learn out loud.
And again, that's something that I'm a business owners, I can understand why they'd be nervous about it, but it's, you're just at this point starting to run out of choices. It's so difficult to get through to people.
Yes.
In a lot of the normal ways. But also, I mean, I just talked to a guy who's like, you know, you could also try answering your own phone. You know, you could also try, he does this great thing and it's going to be in my story. And he told me I could share it. I guess, after they're done with a removal at a home, okay. they remake the bed and they leave a flower on the bed.
Lovely.
Simple as that. It's not something anyone forgets. They go yeah. into their mother's room and the bed is remade and there's a flower there. And that's something that's going to stay in your head forever.
Right.
You know, those concentrating on just the people who you actually serve, just the people who you may actually serve, and worrying less about the broadness of it can be useful. It's useful for many of the people I talk to anyway.
Yeah. That was actually part of my follow-up question, is like, what, you know, makes somebody stand out? And just that one example, one little detail that yeah. they do. And that would be something that a person remembers, and they might even do what they call user-generated content, UGC.
Right, right. Marketing
world, is that they're going to whip out and say, thank you so much. Like with our part of our service is that you can do video testimonials. Not many people do because they're not comfortable in this space. Mm-hmm. But we have the availability to do that. And video does rank higher because we're lazy. We don't always like to read. Right. And when someone takes the time to write something, awesome. But if they can take the time to say something, it just means so much more. But it's those little details, I think, that make the difference. And then that would be an example of something they could send a press release to you to say, here are three ideas that we Absolutely. Do that makes the service, that puts that chef's kiss our, you know, we leave the flour, we make the bed, and we give a grateful handshake and a respectful bow as we leave, or, you know, something like that. Like, I think that would be something that would make an interesting story. Would that be something you'd pick up?
Well, it would be something that I personally would pick up. Cause I mean, yes, it would, but it'd be in like, I did pick it up, but I'm going to tell other funeral directors, hey, this is a good idea that I found. Like
that's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. That's my job is to, hey, this is something that's working, something that's not working, all of those things. But I mean, it is something that a local paper might find that interesting, but it's a little bit harder because there's not much more to the story. And, you know, as a journalist, you don't want to seem too addy. You know, you don't want to seem too promotional.
Right.
So that can be a tricky.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something like in the marketing world would be like what they call a lead generator. So sharing the top 10 things that a funeral home can do,
right,
add that extra special thing. If you had 15 funeral homes send you their ideas, you could combine that into a story. And on the tech side, SEO, search engine optimization, right, is when people Google something and you're come up. But now with AEO, answer engine, which is AI based, right, it's looking for content like top 10 things my funeral home does to make your life better.
Right.
And then that kind of stuff feeds the little, you know, Google spiders who come and looking for it. So those things are an excellent way. Again, this show is all about marketing for funeral homes. And we want the listeners as funeral home owners and directors to be able to get the information that you need quickly, things that you might not be aware of, and give you some great ideas so you can jump over landmines that other people have spent lots of time and lots of money figuring out. And we're hoping you could do that quickly. All right. So let's get to the next segment of the show, which is journalism and trust. So you have built a loyal community through your podcast and your Substack community. And that doesn't happen by accident. So what, and by the way, Substack is something that I'm suggesting to my funeral homes to start because I think people are looking for genuine conversation and authentic. There's a lot of information on Reddit. There's a lot of information all over the web. But I think Substack is something that we can control as a business owner of putting that out there. So what do you think is the difference between broadcasting and engaging when it comes to those things?
Oh, that's a great question. So broadcasting, so I guess, especially in this context, broadcasting sounds vaguely spray and pray, right?
Yes.
Right. It's literally everybody
screaming from the rooftops.
Right. And there's genuinely nothing wrong with that. For instance, on Substack, I think of notes as like a broadcasting thing. And I don't put a lot of funeral stuff in my notes. Notes is just kind of like a, hey, this is the thing. Engaging is making someone participate in the story with you. And that is something that's very important to me. And I like a story better if I have to look something up or if I have to stop and read it again. You know, I don't need it to be super, super complex. I just need to know that someone cared enough to try to do it a very specific way. And that's also what I try to do when I'm writing. I want, like, people are very worried about being confused for AI. You know what you could do? You could develop a voice. It takes 20 years. And then after those 20 years, you have a voice, and putting things a little differently to make people stop and get through it. I am not delivering a message. I am engaged. That's the difference. There you go. I stumbled onto it. Yeah. So broadcasting, you don't stop. Engaging, you stop. You're like, oh, what is this? Why is this? Right. You know, something that makes you go deeper into a story rather than you read the headline, you read the first paragraph, you're like, I get it. Right. You know, and I don't like to do the Tarantino type, you know, first paragraph where I'm like, here's the end. Now see how it started. But it is important to ask a question early that you're going to answer throughout. And that's the difference between something engaging. Like I put out something that was broadcasting today. I did, ICCFA has a new program, the 240 workshops. And I spoke with Renee Negrete. I'm saying that name wrong. I'm sorry, Renee, about it. And it was just, it's just very expositional, right? This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. Here's a couple cool quotes. Pow, pow, pow out. It's 500 words and change. It's not unreadable. It's, I think it's, I wouldn't put it out if I didn't think it was good, but you're not going to get to the to word 498 and say, oh my God, what happened next? you're going to get it. But once, if you're going to ask more than 500 words of people, then you have to deliver on that. It's not just, I've never written for the bots. I've been very lucky. No, I haven't been very lucky. I'm poor. Like I haven't written for the bots, but I've been very specific about not writing for the bots. The story length is a story length. The story structure is a story structure. I write to be read. I do not write to be shared, and I do not write to be viral.
Okay. But also the word engaging also, connotates a conversation. So
I believe absolutely.
When you have engaging pose is asking questions to get your audience to participate, right? And that's like the beauty of social media and Substack and things like that, is that you're putting it out there for them to give their two cents, hopefully respectfully and truthfully, right? But getting that dialogue going creates a great atmosphere and culture that in your community. And that's why I think you have what I call the vibrant community, because I feel like people do comment on your articles and things like that, because they want their voice to be heard as well. So it's a great outlet for that.
Thank you. And it's, they're not necessarily answering questions. They're doing as a, like they're filling in. They're like, oh, you said this and this, and here's what I can bring to this story. Yeah. And that means that you've captured their imagination enough that they feel like that story was written for them. And that's always my goal.
Which is awesome. So now we're going to talk about the framework. So I call it a visibility ladder. So the simple structure in a visibility ladder is presence, participation, perspective, position, right? You want people know you exist, right? As presence. You want to show up in conversations. You want to share informed opinions, and you want to become the trusted voice. So as a funeral home, you can actually participate on community forums when people are posting things about different things. You can do what we call news hacking. So recently, well, it wasn't too recently, but Joe Rogan, I think it was a year or so ago, he did a bit where, you know, he talks for like 3 hours on his show. And in one segment, there was a time where I guess a friend of his told him, so it wasn't even him telling first person, it was a friend of his friend. So it was a third person story where he was bashing funeral homes. He was saying, yeah, you know, they tell you that it's one person, but they could just throw a bunch of, you know, he was using all kinds of, you know, vernacular. Anyways, and so what we did is that I went to my client. I said, we need to respond to this. And so we did a news hacking story. So we like took the segment that Joe said something negative. And then my client, standing in front of his retort in the crematory, he said, hey, Joe, where do you get off saying that? That's not true. And so he like spoke to him, right? We edited that in. And then he said something rude about embalming. And then we were in the prep room and he said, hey, Joe, that's not cool. This is what happens. And this is how it really, and so that's something great that a funeral home can do to up their visibility, because they're getting something that's viral in the news. People are like hearing him. He has the number one podcast. And then basically speaking back to him. Because guess what? Like in our video, and I'm going to try to get it to him, my funeral home director's name is Chris Miller of Thomas Miller Mortuary in Corona, California. he said, "Hey, Joe, I'd like to invite you down to Thomas Miller Mortuary in Corona, California. And I'll show you our retort and we'll show you our videotapes and we'll show you so you can see what is how it's done right." So that's another idea of like increasing your visibility, telling your story as kind of a contrast to what somebody is saying. Have you ever experienced anything like that in your stories?
Yes. Well, not in my stories, but in the coverage that I follow. I love when a funeral director speaks up in, and it's hard to do, whenever there's a scandal, and unfortunately there are more and more scandals. But when there is a scandal, when you step up and say, "Hey, this is how it should be.
Right.
This is why you can trust me. This is what we do. This is how most funeral directors are." That is excellent for the funeral home and excellent for the industry. There have been several. There are two that stand out in my head. I only remember one because one was the best one that I've seen in a very long time. There is a guy, his name is Matt Bailey, and he's a funeral director in Connecticut. And there was a recent scandal where a guy spent $1 million on lottery tickets or something really obnoxious. Okay. And he made a commercial. He made a commercial and he's like, "This is how we've been doing this for 100 years, whatever they have." He's like a third generation, I think. But doing this 100 years, but this is what you should get. This is how it should go. These are the things you need to know. He funded his own PSA in direct response to a scandal, which was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. It did more for the industry than any of the reporting can do, because sometimes the reporting is just about the scandal aspect of it. When you step up, I mean, there's no better way to do it. You know, when there's a scandal, I've been a beat reporter, you know, and when there's a local scandal, it's hard to get the phone answered. And if you're a funeral director that will answer the phone or even reach out to your local place and say, you know, meet these kind of things head on, it's fantastic. There was another guy I saw that this news people had done like this, you know, like, "We see them putting bodies here. What are they doing?" And they just ran it. And the funeral director called them and he's like, "Come out, I'll show you." And so they came out and he's like, "This is during COVID, we had to install all of these refrigerators in this shed because we usually get about 10 bodies a week and we were getting 100. And this is how we do it. And this is the temperature. This is how we check the controls." And he brought them all through it. And instead of it, he made them essentially buy him a 3-minute commercial.
Wow.
Because they didn't check with him about why he was going into his shed in the back or whatever. And those are the kind of opportunities that I would love to see funeral directors take better advantage of. And that's one of the things I try to share when I'm sharing stories. Just
that's great.
Very much, this is a good idea, or this was a good response, and this is why.
Exactly. And that's the whole reason why I'm doing this show, Tony, because there's things that they, you know, they're so busy, you know, taking care of people. I feel like funeral service or death care service is sacred work, and they're working 24 hours a day sometimes. And so that they don't know about these things. So these are ideas for funeral homes as they're listening to the show of what you can do. We actually, for one of my funeral homes, we do something called, it's a monthly live stream show similar to this. And we call it Dialogues About Death. And there's a website called answerthepublic.com. And that's where it's basically scans the internet for people asking questions on all kinds of websites. And we go through and we find the questions that people are asking currently, and then we answer them live. So then we take that show and then we repurpose it into like little nuggets of things. And that has skyrocketed our clients' visibility in our local area. And what's interesting is, Tony, and I'm sure you'll be like, "Of course, is why?" I mean, we answer questions like, you know, like what burns in a crematory? Like people are curious, like does the gold in your teeth melt? Like they ask all these questions, right? So we answer them very honestly. But what really the numbers go crazy on those little clips is when he talks about his personal life. When he talks about, you know, growing up in his office now is his childhood bedroom in the funeral home.
Right.
You know, and he talks about, you know, playing hide and seek, you know, and the fact that none of his friends wanted to have a slumber party, you know, when he was a little boy, and, you know, and people were like, oh, you know, or that he is a, he said he felt like he was a good funeral home or director before his dad died. But then when his dad died, he became an even better funeral director. And then when his wife died, he became an even better funeral director. He said, I was always sympathetic, but I couldn't be empathetic because I didn't get it. Like I knew like to be respectful and care. He says, but now like I literally like wrap my arms around them and say, I get it. Like this is hard. And so the more transparent you can be, the more, like you were saying, get out there, share your story. And it doesn't even have to be a video. You could just do a picture of yourself, of you and your like loved one. And then it could be an audio that you're just talking in the background, right? Or having a video montage. Like that is brilliant. Okay, we're going off. Let me get back on track.
That's fine.
I just want to give Lily practical ideas. So we, I think, kind of went through this. I said, how do we help move funeral homes from posting to participating? And I think that kind of went back to the engaging question. So if someone wants to improve community engagement in the next 30 days, what would you suggest they do?
Well, in the next 30 days, well, I mean, start tomorrow and do... You do well to find something that comes natural. The reason that I've been harping so much on the vertical video is because it takes literally no preparation.
Right.
It takes no preparation and it takes no production value. I mean,
right.
you can do production, but when you're an independent person, the lower the production value, the better. I mean, that's kind of the balance that people like you and I are dealing with all the time. Like I have to be as professional as I can manage. I mean, if I could afford better lights, you know, I'd be less shiny. You know, if I knew how to put on makeup,
fantastic. For those listening to the audio, you don't know. He looks exactly like George Clooney. He is phenomenal. Like you need to find the video.
My face could be less red. There are things that I would like that are different, but getting used to seeing yourself is the only solution. You know, right. I've been doing this for a long time. Whenever I record somebody, like, I hate to hear myself. I'm like, I know you don't like the sound of your voice now, but if you record an hour a week for 20 years, eventually you get used to it.
Right.
You know, it's how you sound.
Now, I don't want to intimidate anybody, Tony, because 20 years is a long time from now. Like the best
what
thing.
To get to 30 days, you have to get past day one. And to get past day one, you have to get over as many hangups as possible.
Exactly.
And, you know, the worst case scenario is nobody sees it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking the best case scenario is everybody sees it and then they all know what I look like, but they already know what you look like. They right. already know what and you
I,
sound like.
I think you're right. Cause I think that we're always our worst critic. I honestly know, and you don't have to say, oh no, maybe that's not true. I sound like an Oompa Loompa, right? We represent the lollipop. Oh,
yeah, you do.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess if anybody sings that, though.
And I'm related to Judy Garland. So to me, that's not a bad thing. So FYI. So now you know someone who's related to Judy Garland.
Very cool.
Through marriage, but still, I own it. But yeah, I think like the best day to plant a tree, you know, is of course 20 years ago. But the next best time is today. So it'll have time to grow. So yeah, just getting it over with, ripping the Band-Aid off, you know, pull out your phone, commenting to something that's happening in the news. Talking about something that is just happened to you. Like maybe you just got out of a decision room and there, of course you don't use names. You're going to be very discreet, but sharing an emotional moment. Like we created, this tool and it's an AI tool called Stories Matter. And it's to help funeral home directors, arrangers. It has prompts that helps them remember stories that they can share in the arrangement room because the funeral home doesn't want to be just an order taker. Like, okay, you just want direct cremation. Thank you very much. Click. No, like, tell me about your loved one. What was their favorite, you know, hobby? Like, how did they enjoy to your life? What is it that what was their favorite sport? And when you start talking about this, say, you know, when my mom passed away, her favorite thing was blank. And because it was, we wanted to honor her by incorporating that and had everyone bring their favorite memory of that, whatever it is. And then somebody says, wow, I my mother did have something like that. I'd love that. I'd love to share that. And so by having the story bank, I think it helps them realize what they're going to be missing out on if they don't plan a funeral that's going to honor their loved one and help in that grief journey. But anyway, yeah, so.
My cousin did something similar when my aunt died, is he shot us all. She was dying. We had, you know, we had never ample notice.
No, there never enough time.
But we, and he said, everybody just send a video with your favorite memory. And that mm-hmm. is the kind of thing. And this was, you know, a decade ago.
I was gonna say, yeah.
But in today's kind of encouraging your family, because what happens is you send the video to them, they put the video on Facebook, and the funeral home is kind of cut out of it. But if the funeral home is encouraging this kind of thing, you know, if people send us videos, we can include that in the memorial that we put up.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it's sending them to the funeral home, and the funeral home is able to help make the memory better. Like right. This isn't something that funeral directors don't know. It's just something that funeral directors maybe haven't said. You considered having family send videos for the memorial?
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody load it up to this one Google Drive, and then we'll take care of it for you. We'll put the video together. It's just another value add that they can provide, which makes them be the, you know, the icing on the cake when it comes to choosing a funeral home. We did a whole show about Google reviews and why, how important that is, and that people search you in the middle of the night without you knowing, and they're going to go look good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And so it's important that you do the things that make people want to give you that good review. Speaking of, this is a segment called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, we don't use any names out of respect, but I want you to think about examples of something that somebody did really well, something that may be a little cringy, and then something that was like really bad that you want people, don't even try this at home, right? Like, please, please, please don't jump off the roof into the pool. It never turns out right. So the good, what consistently builds visibility? Bad, what is a well-meaning effort that has fallen flat that you've seen? And then the ugly, what is a big landmine that you've seen funeral homes step in when they try to do something like this in regards to their engagement with their community?
Well, I've been thinking about this. I think the good are several of the things I think I've already mentioned, like, you know, stepping into bad news, you know, not running away from a local scandal or even a local question, like stepping up and being the face. I can't emphasize this enough. Every industry. When I was growing up, there was, but like Lee Iacocca, that was like a face, right? But you didn't see the CEO's faces. Today, if you want to be a CEO, part of that is being the face. And you're seeing more and more in the larger companies. And what's happening in the massive companies is going to start happening in the smaller companies too. If you're going to ask people for your trust, you're going to have to ask them personally.
Right.
You can't ask me to ask them to trust you.
Right.
And
yes,
that
be
is
direct.
So that's the, all of those, whenever you do that, that's a good. Yes. And I guess maybe the bad would be the ham-handed. I can tell this story, and it's easy to find out who it is. And it's nobody's fault. It's one of those things where, well, I wish I got that call instead of whoever actually wrote the story. But you know, there was a funeral director who was involved in a tornado, like a tornado set down by her house. And her husband was away, and he's like, there's a tornado coming. Everybody get in the basement. And she said, fortunately, I read to the end of the story because that's where it showed up. You know, at the end of the story, she's like, yeah, you know, and I was worried because, like, yes, I was in fear of my life. And also I was in fear of my neighbors' lives, because when I came up out of the basement, I could very well have to get in a car and go pick up all of my neighbors or any of my neighbors or some of my neighbors and, you know, and prepare for their funerals. And since nothing happened, I think the writer definitely missed an opportunity for an excellent story, because it was a throwaway line that shouldn't have been. Because
what was the line?
It was, I was worried about my neighbors and maybe I would have to have their funerals or whatever. But the story should have been about, if I may, Mr. Journalist, who I don't know, the story should have been about, this is what it's like to be a funeral director. Like, when you're a funeral director and you're in a crisis, you're in a double crisis. You're in the crisis for you and your family. And then if you and your family survive the crisis, you're walking into other people's crises who you know, because they are your neighbors, you know, and you think of, you know, there are mass casualties and things like that, you know, oh God, thank God none of my children were hurt.
Right.
But
right,
there were children hurt. And now I have to, I have 1 second to come down from I lived, and now I have to go and see, I get to go, you know, not I have to go, I get to go. It's my vocation.
It's your calling.
To go.
But you're right. That's people. A mantle that, death care teams deal with that people don't really realize. They don't know that they're holding on to this weight, not just the logistics, not just the, it's the emotional weight that's with them every day. They show up and it's a weight that sits on their shoulders and a responsibility. And you're right. Talking about it makes people, it makes you more relatable.
Yeah. And so I think that was a missed opportunity, but I can't blame the funeral director on that. I mean, cause you know, if you tell the newspaper your story and the newspaper screws it up, that's the other reason people don't talk to me. And that's why I get mad. I get mad because other people do a bad job and now I don't get to tell a story.
Oh,
what are you going to do?
But yeah,
that was the good and the bad that I do. And now the ugly.
The ugly. Yeah. Is there anything that you saw that was like, yikes?
It's rare. I mean, there are things that I have seen done that I wouldn't choose, but most of what I see is people knowing that they're trying to do something. So, you know what I mean? I believe when you're criticizing, I don't want to get too precious about it, but when you're criticizing art, when you're criticizing something that someone has made, you just should criticize it on its own terms. Like, what were they trying to do and how well or poorly did they succeed on their own terms? And, you know, again, there's stuff that I wouldn't do, but there's nothing that, I know there was again, I've written about this at length, and I know we're not supposed to name anybody, but I'm happy to name them.
It's okay. Like, you know,
out your way, the San Joaquin Valley, the San Joaquin River Consortium or whatever, there's a preservation thing out there.
Okay.
And they were using human composting to fill in the dirt in the place.
Okay.
Just for conservation. It's not legal in California yet, but they weren't doing it in California. They were just bringing it to California. And so what I think, and then somebody saw it and somebody complained, and instead of saying, well, A, this isn't illegal, any more than scattering is illegal, and B, there's nothing wrong with the human compost itself. Like, there's... Right. The science behind it is public.
Sure.
Instead of doing that, they're like, no, we're sorry. We'll never do it again. We're sorry you caught us. And that was cringy, only because I'm a stand up and, you know, no, we were in the right. And here's why we think we were in the right. And if it makes you uncomfortable, I understand. But you're being uncomfortable because you're not informed. So whenever you miss an opportunity to educate, I think that can be a little cringy.
Yeah.
But, you know, for all of it, funeral directors don't seem to miss a lot of opportunities to educate, but it's only just, it's sometimes just to the people who are in the room instead of in the world.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to share it. It's a good thing you said, because I think that through education, you're really teaching things. It's not self-promotion. When you're educating on how things are done, what to expect, you know, like when you're pregnant, they have that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Right.
Like one of our funeral homes, they have a grief counseling partnership in town, and they do a grief recovery workshop multiple times a year. And it's called What to Expect the First Year, because people don't know what to, like, it hits them all. In fact, there was a gentleman who attended and he was a Navy man and a doctor, and he was beating himself up that he couldn't save his wife. She died in the other room when she said, I'm going to go take a nap. And so he stayed out of the room because he was giving her space to take a nap.
Right.
But when he was out of the room, she passed. And he feels like if he was in the room, he could have saved her. But there was no trigger. There was no, she wasn't sick. There wasn't, it was just a fluke. But he has beat himself up. And so when he came to this class, it had been over a year. And he said, I should have saved her. He keeps repeating that, right? And then the grief counselor, you know, was trying to help him with that. And he says, and then because I'm a military man, I want a checklist. Like, I know there's 5 stages of death. I've heard there's 8. I've gone through them. I've checked them off the list. And then they keep coming back. And he was angry because he was like, when is this over? I want this to be over. I don't want the pain anymore. And it was like, I literally, as he was leaving, I said, may I give you a hug? Because mm-hmm. he thought it was linear. And the funeral or the grief counselor said, it's circular.
Right.
Circular. He says, it's going to hit you. It's just going to get less and less over the years, but it's going to. That's just because you have, where there's great grief, there's great love.
Right.
So take it as that you were lucky to have such a deep love that's why your grief is so deep. I don't know if that made the guy feel better, made me feel better, but I was like, wow. I mean that, you know, and then another thing, like you were talking about what you just said about instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, whatever, is the I think it comes down to confidence.
Yes.
When you're good at what you do and you know that you're doing what's right, you need to step into that and have confidence to say, no, this is the way it is. And I understand this might make you uncomfortable, but it's legal, it's helpful, it's ecological. Like, these are the reasons that it's a good thing, right? And in fact, in our area, you mentioned the area, and I thought you were going to bring up The Mortician. Did you ever see the HBO special, The Mortician?
I'm aware of it. I've not seen it.
Okay.
That was the guy with the clay factories?
Yeah. At the end, he bought a clay kiln.
Yeah.
And he was loading thousands of bodies. And he had, I mean, there was like literally drainage and smell and all this stuff. But he started off, his family, he was a multi-generational funeral home. They were very well respected in the Glendale, Pasadena area. And it was the son that was just kind of a shyster. And he realized, man, I can go around and pick up, charge a cheaper thing and start loading them up. And he hired drug addicts to be his crematory guys. And they were high and they burned it down. Then he bought this kiln so he could load thousands of bodies. Anyways, the documentary, you should watch it. He still thinks, he's such a sociopath. He still thinks he didn't do anything wrong. He's like, what's the problem? Like, why is it a problem? Who cares? Like, everyone's like, what? Like, it was nuts.
I think there's a film in the works too now. I think we're going to get a film next year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, because so it happened relatively close to us, like 35 to 50 miles away. So we had a show and we talked about it and we're getting in front of it saying, that is a bad apple. 99.9% of, you know, crematories would never do that. This guy's bad. Don't assume that everyone's like that based on this story. So again, addressing things head on, having the confidence that you know it's right is good.
One of the things that I always encourage after these incidents is to make sure you let the family know that they can do all the tracking they want. You know, a lot of times funeral homes are nervous about telling the family, no, you can have full access. A lot of the tracking programs, many if not most of the tracking programs, have a switch and you can just click, like the family can see this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
But you can, if the family wants, they can see whatever they want and they can choose. And that's, you know, maybe an arrangement room thing or whatever. But if something like that has happened near you, and every time it happens, I write a little column about it and I say, tell the families.
Yeah.
This is the tracking we use. This is how you can keep in touch with it. This is how we know that we don't have any bad actors. I mean, I know I'm not a bad actor, but I also know my employees aren't a bad actor. And it's not just because I like them. I check because that's my job. Right.
Yeah. In that Joe Rogan video I was talking about,
yes.
He said we're standing right in front of his video monitor and he has like cameras all over the place. And one of them is on his crematory. And he says, you can see Michael right now. And I zoomed in on it. Yeah. He's cremation just ended. And he's now, you know, pulling the ashes into the container. You know, so they literally are showing it on the screen. And he says, and if you want to come in, our door is always open. You can watch the entire process as much or as little as you want. There, this is how we track. So as soon as your loved one comes into our care, this is how we know where they're at. And you can check it online. You can check it in person. Yeah. And I think that gives, even if someone doesn't want to do that, they're like, oh, no, thank you. The fact that they can. Yes.
Knowing that they have that option might make them feel better if they're nervous in the first place.
Exactly. All right. So, Tony, we're getting to the end of our show. I have a thing called the rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I just need you to finish the sentence. And this will hopefully help funeral directors make those quick decisions. So the biggest myth about social media in funeral service is?
That you have to post every day and it always has to be 2 minutes long. Like, all, find a list, ignore it.
Got it.
Find a to-do list and then ignore it.
I love it. Thin most funeral homes overlook is?
I think if you do unclaimed remains, Veterans Day, unclaimed veterans, those are things that you'll always get a photographer, you'll always get attention if you tell people you're doing it. Flag burnings, the good kind, not the bad kind.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that that I think are missed out on.
I love that. If you only fix one thing about your online presence, fix blank.
Use a name or a real name that is yours. Don't be, I don't know, Juju number 73 or whatever. Use your name, use your face. The biggest mistake is not to do
that. Clear is better than clever, for sure, yes, for sure. Yes. And finally, the future of funeral community engagement looks like?
Well, I've got to say, I don't think that I know I'm 1,000 years old, but I don't think that TikTok can really last that much longer. Of course, I said that about Facebook in 2012, so maybe, I'm not the guy to listen to.
They'll call you for stock tips, right?
Authenticity is whatever you do, make sure it's you and make sure you mean it. Like, I've said some outrageous, some dumb, and some even irresponsible thing online, but I haven't said anything where I would say, no, I didn't say that. If somebody says, did you say that? Probably,
Well, own it, right?
Be you.
If you say it, own it. And then if you have to or want to,
apologize for it. Yeah, no,
I think people respect that, right?
You know, I hope so. One of the darkest days in my life, I was doing this youth volunteer thing. And it was we were asking the kids about just different ethical problems. And I said, so if someone comes to you and tells you they made a mistake, are you more or less likely to believe them in the future? And 2 of 1, these kids were like, no, if they got something wrong, then they're probably stupid. And yeah, it made it really hard. And so because that really kind of attuned me to the ability for people to just say, nope, I didn't say that. And everyone was like, I like to live in a world where you can own up to your mistakes. Yes. I don't know if that's the world we live in, but it's the world that I'm going to inhabit. And I think it's a better world. I'm happier in it if I'm not more successful in it.
Exactly. I think at the core, those kids might've said that to look cool in front of their friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, they're dead to me or whatever. No pun intended in this industry. But I think at the core of us, if someone admits, you know what, I messed up, I'm so sorry, is there anything I could do to make amends? I mean, that goes back to the topic of reviews. If someone gives you a negative review, usually it's obviously in the heat of the moment and they're just trying to get it to be heard. So if you can actually address them and pull them offline and then publicly say, you know what, this employee did something wrong, that we're using this as a learning moment and they're going to apologize to you. Please call so we can resolve this. Yeah. Other people are watching. They can see that you've admitted to it and you're going to take care of it. And 9 out of 10 times, they'll take down that bad review because you've addressed it head on and you're being honest and owning your problem because nobody's perfect, right? Yeah. And everybody makes mistakes. So yeah. Okay. So to wrap this up, Tony, you're such a busy guy, and I'm so grateful for you to be on the show. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
And bottom line, we've talked about that if a funeral home really needs to be more visible, and they don't really need to be louder, they just need to be more visible in the right ways. And if families don't know you before a death, They really can't choose you after what afterward. So before we end the show, Tony, is there any last bit of wisdom you wanted to share?
No, I wish there was. I wish I had something clever loaded up.
Well, you used it all up. And that's what we say, right? There's no, you
left it all out on the field.
Yeah, you wrung it out, you've used it up, you're done. I love that. Absolutely. So funeral homeowners, if this helped, please share it with a funeral home owner, other funeral homeowners, we're a community, with somebody who might need it, because we really want to do what works, drop what doesn't. And until then, we'll see you on the next Death Care Marketing Show. Thanks again, Tony, for your time today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.